Hello, everyone, and welcome to This Nomad Life. I'm Minivan Lee. Well, I'm Lee, and I do have a YouTube channel that is called, wait for it, Minivan Lee, and I've been a nomad for 5 years, and I've traveled around the country. I live in my minivan, and I have great videos about the lifestyle and just fun stuff about life in general.
That's for sure. And I'm Paul. I'm looking forward to heading to Quartzsite in a couple of weeks to spend my fourth winter in Quartzsite, Arizona. I have been on the road for about 8 months, going on 9 now, I think. It's a wonderful life. I love being a nomad, seeing new areas, experiencing new stuff. It's very, very good, and I love it very much. And today we're going about something that we've all witnessed, and it's a very good subject to talk about.
Well, we are in our studio right now, which is Paul's Ram ProMaster, because we're nomads and this is what we do. So we're just sitting here looking. We're in a parking lot right now, parked. It's nighttime, and it's been a really good day, hasn't it?
It's been well, according to you, Lee,
yes,
a Tucsonian, it's been a terrifically wonderful day because it's cloudy. Can you believe that, folks? I'm from Michigan, and this time of year, if there's a sunshiny day, oh my gosh, it's just something to rejoice over. And here today, Lee was saying, oh, this cloudiness is just fantastic. Isn't that right?
The clouds are different in Arizona. They're beautiful, and they're over the mountains. And, you know, you got a little bit of blue coming through, and it seems to be very variegated. Have you noticed? Like, there'll be a light baby blue and then a darker blue over here.
Yeah.
It's absolutely gorgeous. But it was a nice cool day, cool morning.
It was.
It rained last night, and it's just been a really pleasant day. But we do have a really fun subject to talk about. And I think it's going to be very interesting for everybody to hear some of the facts and to kind of make people look around and go, I didn't notice that before, but yeah, maybe this is going on right around me, so.
And I think a lot of folks out there will know what we're talking about. And we're going to get into homelessness, ladies and gentlemen. And I'm sure that a lot of you have noticed that there is a lot of homelessness in this country. The problem is, what are the authorities or whoever, what are they going to do about it? How are they going to help these poor folks? I shouldn't say poor folks. They're not poor folks. Well, they might be, but it's just something that we really haven't hit upon a great answer yet.
Well, we noticed it when we were in Reno. And I noticed it even before you came out on a full-time basis. In Reno and in Salt Lake City, there were a lot of people. And when we're going to talk about homelessness, we're going to talk about people living in their vehicles and maybe even kind of specifically in old beat-up RVs across the country.
That's right.
Some of them don't run so well. And it is becoming a problem across the country because they don't run well. And they're kind of congregating in cities around. And one in particular that we're going to talk about is in Salt Lake City. They're having a huge problem.
They are. There are rules and regulations in Salt Lake City, and I'm sure a lot of other cities too. But specifically in Salt Lake City, you can park where there is parking allowed on the street, but you only have 48 hours. After 48 hours, you've got to move out and move your rig or your car or whatever to another spot.
Now, when I read about this article, it really said it applies to everybody, not just an RV or a camper. And you can park anywhere on the street. I didn't even know if there was like no parking. Situations there. They said it anywhere on the street they could park, but only for 48 hours, and then they had to move.
Right.
Yeah.
Those folks that have vehicles that aren't moving real well, whether it's a car, a van, an RV, or whatever, that makes it really tough. And I know that, I guess I have to think, I used to live in a sticks and bricks home, and if a old beat up Class C RV pulled up and parked right in front of that house, I'd think, I don't know about that. And then if they were there for 2 days, I'd really begin to be concerned about it. And I think I'd want to call someone and say, hey, what about this?
Right. Well, one of the problems that they are having is that, and we've seen this too, that once one RV pulls up, another one will pull up. And their thinking is that, well, I guess it's okay to park here. And then now they're clustering. Now you've got three, sometimes four, and then five. I mean, that can actually be a problem. But what I read that what some of them do is they will move just a little ways. After 48 hours, they will move a little ways or move to maybe another street, right?
Right.
And wait for the 2 days, 48 hours, and then move someplace else again. Yeah. Now, when I was in Reno, they were parking. It was called Rock Park. And when I first came to Reno, I mean, there were a lot of people parking there, and they were in the vehicle, some of them cars, some of them RVs, some of them minivans, and some of them a cab over camper mm-hmm. on a truck, and they were there all the time. I mean, day after day after day, they were there. They eventually had to clean it out.
One of the parks in Reno.
Yes.
Cleaned it out, and there's no overnight parking there any longer.
Not at all. Yeah. There were just too many people. Well, here's the problem that you and I have discussed is when people go overboard and they take such obvious advantage, then it makes it hard on everybody. Then everybody suffers. There was what do you call that? A tent camper where you pull, it was a pull-out camper. It had a tent on the top, but you could fold it in. What are those called? A tent camper.
Yeah.
A pull-out. They parked there. They were there for 3 months. It was like that was their home. They treated it as their home. They had bikes out. They had all kind of things just sitting out. They were living there on a full-time basis.
There was little doubt about that, right?
Right. They had the prime real estate with the shade under this one tree, and they were there all the time. They finally, I think people complained that we're trying to use that park on the weekends. And then they finally complained, and they came, and they cleaned it out. But I remember right before that, there was, they cleaned out another, oh my gosh, yeah, this is how it goes. They cleaned out another park in Reno, because Reno has a real homeless problem. And the rents, I think Tesla came in, and then people put the rents up, you know, because young professionals were moving into the city. Rents went sky high, and one by one, people were pushed out of their apartments
mm-hmm.
because the rent just kept climbing high. So they especially had a huge problem. And all of a sudden, I remember they cleaned out this one park, and they all congregated at Rock Park. I mean, we're talking about RVs and campers that were, they had to be at least 20 years old, falling apart. And I think that was the final straw. They had to clean it out. Yeah.
Right. You know, what you just mentioned about 20-year-old RVs, there are commercial campgrounds that have rules in place that they won't accept an older RV. They want to keep up appearances, I suppose. They think that by having an age limit, it has to be, in this case, newer, that they're going to make their park look better and have, perhaps they're thinking they'll have a better class of people. I don't know, but that could be.
Well, KOA, campgrounds, you cannot park there or use it unless your vehicle is, you can't use it if it's 15 years or older.
Yeah. There you go. That's the kind of thing I'm talking about.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, you know, when we were at Rock Park, there was, remember that RV park that was beside it?
Right.
Well, they were 10 years.
Okay.
They wouldn't allow anybody to rent a space there if it was over 10 years old.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, in Salt Lake City, I do want to tell you about, they do have a new pilot program. And it's a project, and it included $100,000, which doesn't seem like very much. I thought that was kind of a low amount.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah. But they, well, what they want to use this money for is a project to help with repairs on these RVs, these older RVs, for these homeless people that are living in them. And it's a short-term project, and it may actually end as soon as June of next year, which I don't know. At least it's a project. At least it shows that they're addressing something going on there.
Well, and the other thing that's going on in Salt Lake City is that if you happen to leave your vehicle over that 48-hour limit, they may call a tow truck and haul your vehicle, RV, whatever it is, off to a lot, and then the lot's going to get rid of it. Well, think about it. One fellow that they interviewed says, I don't have a job because I can't leave my vehicle here for 8 hours every day. I'm worried that when I come back, my vehicle, my clothing, everything I own is gone to some impound lot. And it, I mean, I can understand that. I'm living in my van. If something were to happen and this was towed away, I'm out in the cold. So I understand what he's talking about.
YouTube.com, Minivan Lee. Videos about nomad life. Instructional videos, travel videos. I will teach you how to live in your minivan or SUV successfully in style. I share ideas and gadgets, including a really great solar setup, so you can keep yourself powered up and have energy throughout your travels. It's a great life, full-time. It's also great for using your minivan as a camper for vacations. So go to YouTube.com and search for Minivan Lee, L-E-E, Minivan Lee. Please subscribe and ring the bell for notifications. Now back to the show. Well, you know, Paul, I mean, a lot of people became homeless because I mentioned in Reno because of Tesla coming in. So there was a problem before COVID hit. But a lot of people lost their businesses. They lost their jobs from COVID.
Right.
And so that was almost 2 years ago. And they don't have very much. People just don't have very much. And they're happy to have that RV. They're happy to have some shelter, because what's also happening is there's tent cities that are cropping up all across the country. And we've seen them here in Tucson. We saw them. Yeah. We saw them where else? We saw them in San Jose. We saw them in San Francisco. We saw them definitely in, when I was in Salt Lake City, I saw them. They were right. They were boldly right at the park.
Yeah.
And they were right in the middle of the park. And then, of course, you know, they would be torn down after a while. When they tend to, what happens is they tend to move in clusters. They see one tent, then another person puts up a tent, another person puts up their tent, and then pretty soon you got 8 or 9, 10. Well, it's right down the road, then the police say, take them down.
And I have to admit, what are those, I mean, I've got mixed feelings on this.
Yes.
What are those people going to do? They want some shelter, for crying out loud, whether it's from the sun during the day or cold at night and rain and whatever. And I understand that if they take over an area and it becomes what they call a tent city, it's pretty unsightly. What are they going to do for bathroom usage? It's a real problem. And it's not just that the city has a problem, those people have a problem. And they're trying to do what they can to solve it. It's tough. It's a toughie.
Right. Well, the homeless people that are living in their RVs, they don't feel homeless. I don't. I'm living in my minivan. I don't feel homeless at all.
Yet some people will think that we are homeless. They would.
Right.
They would classify us as, oh, you don't have a house somewhere or an apartment, you are homeless. Well, that's not the way I look at it, but
no. Well, we have resources that we could definitely get a home.
Right, right.
And we are prepared enough that and our rigs work well enough that, I mean, we move around.
I remember a week or two ago, there was a gentleman walking his dog in the park we were staying at that day. And I happened to be outside the van, and he said, "Oh, is that your rig there?" And I said, "Yeah." And he said, "So are you headed somewhere?" And I said, "I live in that van." And his face brightened up, and he said, "I've always wanted to do that." And I said, you want to say, well, what's keeping you? And he said, "Well, I am married, and I have a wife at home, and she wants nothing to do with that." But it was just amazing to me that he was on kind of the other side of the spectrum. It's like, oh, I wish I could do that, you know.
Right. And
I just told him I loved the van. I loved the way I had it set up. And he just ate all this up. It was interesting.
Well, they don't feel homeless, but they do feel dogged by the police and by park officials. They constantly feel dogged, and they worry about whether they're rig, well, they probably worry about whether it's going to start so that they can after 48 hours.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
But the impound lots, they will hold the RVs, and inside their RVs are all their possessions. Now, as far as cost goes, they did list in Salt Lake City minimum it costs $280, and that's minimum, and it depends on the size to get it out. So that's $280 minimum right there. Sometimes it can go as high as $400
plus $60 a day in Salt Lake City. $60 a day impound charge, or whatever you want to call
exactly.
it.
Exactly. So what happens is they lose everything, and it's so that is concerning, and we all want to be compassionate, yes. Do we want them to be parking in front of our home or in front of maybe our grown children's homes with our grandkids playing out in the yard? Do we?
No.
I don't know.
No. I mean, what's the old saying? Well, that's fine, but not in my backyard or front yard.
Right.
And I understand that completely. It's a problem.
So we're not giving really our opinions. We're just, and we, or even our solutions. I know Paul and I just, we don't know exactly what can happen, and we don't want people to suffer, but we also are a bit concerned about that this is happening. Now, I will mention that there are people that we have seen in our travels and just recently that are very concerning about the nomad life and for all of us concerned. What was that one RV that we saw? It was a Class C. It was the back end, the back, well, how do you even specify that? The back section
the
of
back
the whole.
The back wall, the entire
thank
back
you.
Wall.
The entire back wall was leaning, it was cockeyed.
It was. You could,
and it was
you could
on
look
my
in
tape.
The crack and see inside the RV.
It was almost, was it held on by tape?
It was, no, it looked like they started that way, and you could see where the tape used to be. Now they've got it held together with a tow strap or a jerk strap.
Does it go all the way around the whole?
I didn't see what they have it hooked to on the inside of the vehicle, but it doesn't go around the whole thing. No, that would be huge. But that's all that's keeping that entire back wall. And then he's towing an old ratty looking fishing boat behind this thing.
I know.
It's like, if I was on the freeway behind this gentleman, I wouldn't stay there long. I'd do whatever I could to get out from behind him and get out of the way in case something came flying
right.
off.
But he's not been stopped. Now, I did go up to, I saw him before and I got a picture of him, I think like a week earlier, but this time I went over, I had to meet him, and I said, "Hey, what's going on with this?" And he goes, "Yeah, I keep getting, I had to put it on myself, now it's too heavy, I can't, it's falling off, I can't." I said, "You haven't been stopped?" He goes, "No." Well, on the side there was this crack opening, and I could look in, and my mouth dropped. Inside his Class C is not, there was nothing more what I could see, which is a bunch of wood. And I looked, I said, what in the world do you have back here? And he's going, well, I said, where do you live? And he goes, well, I got a couch up in the front that I sleep on. I go, why are you towing this thing around? This is craziness. I said, get yourself a little van or something. He goes, well, yeah, I need, he didn't look, he looked pretty ratty, didn't he?
Yeah,
he looked like some, come down from some mountain he'd been in. I mean, so this is,
I mean, here we are, nomads, and we're talking about this guy and being a little critical, but that's the kind of person that people think of, that I don't want this in my front yard. And
yes.
So that kind of rolls over to people like us.
Right.
Who are just out trying to live life and enjoy it to the fullest and traveling and what have you. You know, we're all kind of lumped into the same boat, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
Right, and that's not really, And I know, I think at the end, let's not do it now, but at the end, let's talk about some of the faux pas that are, that we've been noticing going on with higher class, some of the RVs going on, and I've got a video on one. But I want to get back to some of these RVs, and the tow lots don't want them either. Because when they're stuck with them, it literally costs them, it said $2,000 to get rid of these old RVs.
Right.
They're stuck with them. And but the residents are complaining, and there's mounting pressure because of the trash, the debris, and there's that perceived dangerousness of the people living in these kind of ratty, falling apart, not running well campers that people are using as their shelters now in cities.
And then what was it that one of the city officials, I believe, had to say about bathroom facilities?
Oh my gosh, yes. he said that they're worried that they don't have bathrooms inside of their RVs. And Paul and I looked at each other with our mouth dropped because we knew, and I can imagine if you're a nomad, what you're going to be thinking too, right?
Right, absolutely. Just having a bathroom in there doesn't solve the waste removal problem. I don't think he'd ever been in a RV of any kind, because that tank has to be dumped somewhere at some point.
I know.
He didn't get it.
So, yeah, I mean, okay, so they got a bathroom in there, and they're using a bathroom. Oh, yeah, okay, I got a bathroom in there. But that requires water, and that requires a good running RV, because they need, where's the dump station? Where are they going to dump the sewer?
Right.
And where are they going to fill it up with water? The officials, that showed me that the officials do not understand reality when it comes to the nomad life. Because, I mean, Paul and I don't have bathrooms in here, and a lot of people don't as nomads. But we do have a bathroom system, which is very, I mean, it's well thought out. It's very organized.
Works very well.
Yes. And we would not want a bathroom system. And I'm going to also mention a lot of RVs, they might... And they have the ability to dump, but they don't want to do it. They have a bathroom, and it's really nothing more than a closet. They store things in it because they don't want to be dumping. And what happens with the dump system? Sometimes you need the dump doctors because there's a clog going in there. That's very expensive. It's like a plumber, and they have to go in and clean out. So one solution offered is that a city could offer RV vouchers. But then again, we already mentioned that a lot of RVs won't accept the older
RVs. Parks. Well,
yeah.
Right.
So
that won't solve the problem either.
Right. Now, lawsuits are cropping up because they say it's a human right thing. In Washington State, for example, no person in a camper can park their rig on the street for more than 4 hours at a time. Can you imagine? They can't park their camper on the street in Washington State For 4 hours. More than 4 hours.
I just find that terribly hard to believe, because what are they doing with tourists?
Right, right.
If Ma and Pa are retired and they go to Spokane and they want to... Is that where the Space Needle is? I'm not even sure. But they want to go up in the Space Needle. Well, they better be back within 4 hours, evidently, yeah. If that's really the law that they're trying to present. It doesn't make any sense to me whatsoever. Maybe it keeps people from parking overnight.
Right.
But you're hurting so many other things. It just it doesn't seem sensible.
Well, it doesn't seem like that's against their rights, too. I think the Space Needle, isn't that in Seattle?
Oh, yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah. So, there are lawsuits cropping up because they don't make sense. And, you know, you can't just make a law that is against, you know, other laws. I mean, we have a Bill of Rights, it seems like.
Right, we do.
I mean, that's pretty odd that you can't park more than 4 hours. Why a camper as opposed to a regular car?
Yeah.
I can see if maybe it's not running well, or it seems like it might be posing a health hazard or an obstruction of some sort. But
now, just Lee, as far as something that might work in my mind,
yeah,
there's talk of, well, you know, most churches, they have a big parking lot, they do their thing on Sunday, and that parking lot pretty much sits empty the rest of the week.
Right.
A lot of churches do have Wednesday night things going on. But all of that, if they could somehow get social services involved,
yes,
and have some kind of checkpoint, you know, you
right,
have to kind of check in. And,
right.
And then you'd have to get out of the way on a Sunday morning when the parishioners come in. But I think that has some merit. I mean, those lots, by and large, are not being used during the rest of the week.
Well, they say that also churches, they do offer more social services. How many churches actually offer a food bank once a week?
Oh, lots and lots.
Exactly. And they also highlighted the fact that the criminal aspect might not get involved in this too, so that would move them out of the way. Because if they have to register and they have to sign up for some of these services, criminal aspects aren't overly
they don't care
energetic
to get,
too, or yeah.
Yeah, they don't care to get involved in handing out their personal
right,
information. They're kind of just, I don't want to, maybe it's not hiding out, but they want to remain in the background. So
right,
I would think that that kind of arrangement would keep the criminal element away, and I don't know. I think that has some merit.
Right. Well, that one problem we already talked about is that they're in a city, and if they want to work, but they need a place to park. Of course, they can park where they work, can't they? Okay.
Well, it depends what kind of job they have. If it's a big factory, there might be a big parking lot, or even a Amazon warehouse, right?
Well, wait a minute. Well, if I work somewhere, I get to park
right,
where I work,
right?
As long as my vehicle runs and I can drive there.
True.
So, but they're afraid. I guess if they can't drive there, if they don't have the gas, or they can't drive there, they're afraid when they get back that their vehicle will be impounded,
right,
and it will be gone, which, I mean, if it's not running well, something came to my mind, Paul. Well, if a car doesn't run very well, can they be on the streets? If a car doesn't run well, can it just park on the streets and stay there? No. So where's the cutoff? Because it's an RV and it doesn't run well. I guess what I'm getting at, Paul, is if a car doesn't run well, you can't just park it in your yard and just leave it. You can't have a junkyard in your yard. There are laws against that in the city. So where's the difference between an RV? In fact, an RV, an old RV can be actually even more unsightly.
Oh, very true.
Right. So, and I know it's some place to live, so they're going to have to address this. And they're going to have to open up what we also read about, maybe have a city lot open up a city lot that offers hookup and maybe trash and some water and charge them money. You know, for people who want to work and charge them money for it, maybe $250. They said maybe $250, $350 a month.
I think, you know, that has some merit too. That would give them a place that they can park their rig there and they don't have to worry about their rig and everything else, their clothing and everything else being gone when they come back from work.
Right. So I think this is food for thought for everybody out there. I think this is an interesting subject. I think people are really going to enjoy this episode, don't you?
Oh, I think so. It's a problem that needs to be addressed. And cities are struggling with it. States are struggling with it. Because it seems that there's more and more homeless. And I think we've seen there's more and more nomads as well.
Right.
So, and I guess, you know, speaking a little bit selfishly, I'm a little bit worried that some of this down on the RV or down on the person that is living homeless is going to trickle down to we nomads that are just doing what we want to do and not trying to get in anyone's way and just enjoying life. I think we can be affected by all these things, and that's why it concerns me.
Well, another problem, here's another problem. Let's go even a little bit deeper with these RVs. They're built to fall apart. I have a 2006 minivan. It runs well. It looks nice. It's not falling apart. But I've seen that one guy with the RV, with the Class C, with the back wall off. I asked him what year it was. He said it was a 2006. Almost fell over. They're made to fall apart.
The same year as your van. How about
they're made of these RVs are maybe somebody needs to address the fact that they're made to fall apart, and it's the truth. We all hear about it.
Yeah.
Why don't they make, you know, they need to be, and they're so expensive. People need to like say, hey, what, you know, I want this to. You know, or do regular trailers, like, you know, like mobile homes, do they fall apart too? Are they made to fall apart?
Absolutely.
Are they made to fall apart?
Absolutely.
They are?
I lived in a trailer for many years, and I would not dare call it a trailer. It's a mobile home, for crying out loud.
But do they make them to fall apart too?
Let's put it this way. They don't use Class A1 materials and putting them together as they usually do in a regular home.
Okay. Yeah. Well, this is probably something that also could be addressed. That if we're going to have these trailers and these campers running around, we need to demand for better quality. Because there's a lot of Class C's out there. I guess when they're done with the Class C and they get rid of them, what they do, just kind of like smash them down and then ship them off to China, I guess. Hey, here you go. Here's some. Because that's what. Here you go. Here's some
good,
metal for you or whatever.
Good question. Yeah.
And maybe even China won't even take them. But another thing, too, you mentioned that you're worried that things that are going on. We have seen, and we talk about it in the videos, that there are some well-established, they're not homeless, they've got a lot of money, they have nice rigs, but they're just making it hard on everybody. They'll park in such a way that they're taking up 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 parking spaces. They're doing it in parking lots of restaurants. They're pulling out their pull-offs.
Slides.
They're slides. Oh. They're even putting up cones. They're pulling out cones and they're putting them up. And they're sleeping overnight. They're going to end up making it so hard for the rest of us.
Well, I'm very concerned. And Lee just giggled a little bit when she talked about a guy putting out these little orange cones. But we saw that a week ago.
Yeah.
He had his slide out, and then he had the nerve to put these orange cones, hopefully to make sure that no one hit that slide that was sticking out in the roadway or in the parking lot.
It's in the parking lot of a restaurant.
So I mean, that's the kind of thing that is going to cause people to say, look, we don't want any of those rigs in here. Let's just cut it all off and we don't have to worry about it. Well, right. that concerns me.
Right, exactly. So if anybody has any solution, there needs to be a good discussion started.
Well, I bet our voicemail inbox will not be overflowing with solutions because it's a tough, tough situation.
Now, where can somebody find the link and the tab, the button to leave us a voice message?
It is right under the description of the podcast. There is a link there. And please, folks, please use that. We'd love to hear from you, and you'll certainly get an answer from us in the same way as a voice message.
Well, let me ask you, Paul, is that just on Anchor, or is that on Spotify and Apple Podcast and Downcast and Google Podcast,
Pocket Cast? I could be mistaken, but I think it is only Anchor.
Okay, so if you're listening on Anchor, but a lot of people are going to be listening on Spotify, too.
Well, that's true.
A lot of people use the Spotify. I think the two top ones are Spotify and Apple.
Okay.
Apple Podcasts, right. Yeah.
Well, I personally use Downcast, and I know that option is not available on Downcast.
So they need to go on Anchor.
Right.
If they want to leave us a voice message.
Very good point.
And yep. We listen to them, and we've gotten a few.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's been good.
Right. There are solutions to this. There's always a solution to this. We just need to put our heads together. Everybody needs to put their heads together on how to deal with the economy the way it is and people losing their homes. Because we're not just talking about men. We're talking about women. We're talking about children. Tucson has a problem with families being homeless. Hmm. Children are definitely involved in homelessness.
That's very sad.
Yeah. And I think that for all the friends out there, I'm from Arizona. Well, I'm from Ohio originally, but I've lived in Arizona, in Tucson, for 40 years before I became a nomad. Now, Paul has lived most of his life in Upper Michigan or Middle Michigan, and he would go to Quartzsite for a vacation.
To get away from winter, exactly.
But now he's fast becoming a Tucsonan, everybody, and he's seeing the reality of homelessness.
I have.
Yeah.
And I do love Tucson. It's a beautiful city.
Yeah.
Obviously, the weather is an attraction. There's no question about that. And I do love it very much here. But as we drive down the given street, you can see the homeless population seems to be growing and growing.
Right. Now, what in a lot of cases, what they do in Tucson is during the summer months, a lot of them, they hop on a bus and they go up to Flagstaff where it's cooler.
Okay.
And then in the winter, they hop on a bus and come back down to Tucson.
Gotcha.
And there's shelters, there's many shelters around that they can sleep in. And Tucson has a decent system. They do have Operation Freeze Out or something. I forget what it's called. But what they do is police will go around if it really gets cold, because it can really get cold here. And they pick them up and take them somewhere to a shelter for free.
Yeah. Yeah. I've seen that going on in Michigan, too.
Yeah, very good. Yeah. So, I know that you have enjoyed this because it's a good subject and it'll make you think. I am really glad that you're all here, folks, and that Christmas is coming and you're going to have a good time. I'm sure that if you're listening to this, I'm sure you're cozy inside your home, whether it's your rig or your house, your sticks and bricks.
Very
and
true.
We're very blessed, aren't we, to have that?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Well, folks, we do wish you a Merry Christmas. You'll be hearing one more episode on Christmas Eve Day, I believe it is,
yes.
As a matter of fact.
Uh-huh.
One more before Christmas, but do have a Merry Christmas. I hope it is very, very good for you. And remember, be cool.